This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get it.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 1 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, in your number, 800-919-3776. And I advise you all that if you want to get on the show, you want to get in line right now. I mean, there it is a busy Monday in New York City as we went from 20 weeks of nothing to it's all have a deluge of sports news, things happening and actually happening by the minute right now. And Bart, here we go. I mean, it's a busy week, as we knew. Live sports started over the weekend with baseball. We'll see how much longer that lasts. Yeah. But we also have more sports to talk about as hockey and basketball will take place later this week. And then NFL training camps will be opening very soon after that. So we're back into it, but we'll see for how long, because right now, we don't know what's going to happen in Major League Baseball. Owners are meeting right now. They're discussing what to do next. But Marlins Orioles has been postponed. Why? Because more Marlins players have tested positive for COVID. They were just in Philadelphia. And immediately you feel, well, the Yankees are heading to Philly. And if I'm the Yankees, there's no way in hell I'm going in that clubhouse until it's completely disinfected. And so Yankees-Phillies has also been postponed tonight in Philadelphia. So we'll see now. The sport that is operating outside of a bubble looks like they're having some issues. At least one team is, while the teams in with the sports that are in the bubble, NBA and NHL, seem to be so far okay.
I mean, we thought we were going to get out of week one and be able to show up on Monday and really celebrate Cespedes coming back and hitting a home run. Giancarlo Stanton looking like an MVP candidate. Diaz disappointing us in picking up Walford right where he left off. Painful. And it's just like, coming back. And now the narrative is, will this continue? We went from 0 to 100 real fast, and we were excited to have all kinds of sports. We were thinking, hey, we will have so much to talk about that we're going to have to put me on the shot clock on my comments. My comments are going to have to be within 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and move on to the next one, kind of like partner interruption. Ding, we got to go back to the next hot topic. But when you look at it, the Marlins, is an early case study to how committed and how dedicated they are to making sure that they keep these players safe, but also have protocols in place. And this isn't just a case study for the for Major League Baseball. This is a case study for the NFL as well, to see what happens when a group that's not in a bubble get an outbreak. How do you handle it? How do you contact trace? And how do you isolate? And how do you have flexibility to move around? Now, speaking about the Phillies, if I'm the Phillies and if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm testing the Phillies today to make sure that it wasn't any cross-contamination.
They're testing right now.
Yeah. Right, because it's very limited contact in baseball. But let's see. If they come out good, then that gives – if I'm baseball, that gives me confidence that, hey, if one team has it, doesn't necessarily mean that the other team has it.
I agree with that. If whatever results do come out of today with the Phillies, and they're going to be tested regularly anyway.
Right.
If that result tells you, okay, maybe it's one or two, maybe it's zero. Okay.
Right.
Umpires as well, by the way, that worked the game yesterday and over the weekend. If you go through that, and then, of course, you send in whatever it is, the germ SWAT team that goes into the visiting clubhouse.
Exactly.
And just completely fumigates the place. And then you feel like, okay, now we can have a team go in there.
Yeah.
But the thought is, people say, well, why don't the Phillies just go to the Bronx and play at Yankee Stadium?
Right.
Well, I don't want the Phillies going anywhere right now because, again, they were the ones that were right there with the Marlins. So it's how the league handles it. It goes back to what even Adam Silver talked about with the NBA, is if we have a little outbreak, we can't overreact. We can't shut it all down. We've got to just see if we can isolate it, handle it, and move forward. The Brooklyn Nets, you don't even recognize their roster. Why? Because a handful of their players tested positive, and two others decided, I'm not going to play. I'm opting out. So they had to find some players and put a team together. The Marlins are essentially going to have to do the same thing.
Right.
Until their players come out of quarantine. It's just you have to know how to, just like all of us, we have to live with the virus and react accordingly with the virus. And so if you do have positives, quarantine and get yourself in until it's all the way through.
And
right?
another thing that this does for all the teams that thought, hey, you know, let your guard down. We're having fun. Everybody's tested, right? Let's handshake. Let's be all up in each other's face in the clubhouse. Let's be around each other. Let's kind of lax down and let's talk to our teammates without the mask on. No, this lets everybody know early on you have to always be on guard. You have to always be doing the responsible thing. You always have to make sure that you understand that this virus is around and nobody's immune to it. Anybody can get it, and we have to be responsible to keep this thing going. So I don't know what happened. It's been reports that, you know, they stopped in Atlanta, and Atlanta is a hot spot right now, and maybe they got, you know, infected in Atlanta. Nobody knows where exactly the outbreak came or where the first person who got it or where the missed test was taken or not taken. But it still lets them know that, hey, you know, people are getting it, and we're going to have to be more, you know, diligent in our travel. We're going to have to be more diligent in what we do as an organization, because if it's just them, then you have to ask, where did it come from and who made the mishap and how did it happen? But if the Phillies don't have anything, then they're saying, okay, you can play against a team that have it, but baseball is so socially distanced for the most part anyway that teams can be safe.
That's the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's Barton Hahn again. 800-919-3776 is the number. You can get us on Twitter at Barton Hahn. You can get us on Instagram as well. And of course, we did IG Live.
We'll do it live
at 12:30, there, because it's like I said, the baseball thing is just happening now. We'll keep an eye on it, of course, and take your calls on it and how it might impact the entire league. Not just they just got started, and you would think things went fairly swimmingly. And the Yankees, you know, had a nice weekend. The Mets, not so much, but still, you felt like I was sitting watching Bart last night for the first time. I got it because it's a busy weekend for us, just family wise. But I got to sit down yesterday afternoon and watch the YES Network and watch a game, you know, in the setting that you love, air conditioning and 4K. And it was, you know, it was spectacular. It was great to sit and watch something live in a game and get into it. It was a really entertaining game as Corbin pitched so well for the Nationals. The bullpen let him down. And the Yankees, just as they always do, it always takes that one player. Yesterday was Gleyber Torres. But
and Foyt.
And Luke Foyt, obviously, a big homer as well. But it was just, it was fun. And the bullpen for the Yankees, a tremendous job. But sitting there watching it, it felt normal for the first time, even with no one in the building, right? So you have that. But there's so much else happening right now in sports that even our IG Live, we talked about the Tom Thibodeau reports with the Knicks that, you know, again, I've told you that was the inevitable, and now it's going to be official at some point this week. And then for you, what everybody wants to hear from you, and I know we got a little taste of it on DPH or Kenny Rothenberg, is Jamal Adams getting traded, which felt like it just happened so fast.
Like a news dump on Friday, right?
Like it was just incredible. How it was like, wait, what? Like, you know, so the Thibodeau stuff started to leak, and it really became a thing on Saturday. And then Jamal Adams happened on Saturday as well. And it just, you know, those are two things obviously right in our wheelhouses. So I don't even know where we begin. You know, when it comes on those two headlines, but, you know, there's a lot of callers that want to talk both of those topics. So let me just, you know my feelings on the Thibodeau stuff. I can get deeper into it later, but just give me quickly in a microcosm before we get to the calls, what your level of surprise that Joe Douglas made the move when he did right after it felt like they're under no pressure to trade this guy. They don't have to.
Yeah.
But if the right trade came along, it would be worth listening to. Was this the right trade that came along that he had to say yes to?
Right trade, right time, right compensation. Once Jamal went nuclear, it was no way to repair, you know, that relationship. When you go out against the owner or you go against the owner's brother, you know, he knew what he was doing. But the Jets was willing to listen to the white noise and let Jamal spat off, because they've been through this before. This isn't the first time, you know, Joe Douglas has been around a disgruntled star.
Yeah.
But then it started to become like Jamal was a bad culture guy. you know, sometimes when, you know, you're around and a guy seems like a leader, he says all the right things, you know, adversity reveals a lot. And when it got real hot for him in these streets, when it got hot for Jamal, he started to become a squeaky, squeaky wheel. And he didn't handle it like a professional would handle it, in my view. He handled it like somebody who was just trying to force their way out and didn't care about the damage they did on the way out. He left a lot of open wounds here, and I don't know if that'll ever be repaired. And then to leave I'll always miss you Jet fans in my heart.
Whatever.
Like, it was so hollow, so shallow.
Yeah, tell that story of walking.
It was so weak. You know, and I expected more from Jamal. And listen, he got his wish, but I think what he left behind could potentially be the building blocks of a playoff caliber football team in the near future and potentially a Super Bowl caliber team in the next 3 years. And I believe with that type of draft equity, that type of weaponry where you can utilize and move up and down draft boards for 2 years in a row, knowing that you have 4 first round draft picks, like you can have the ability to go out and get that white whale because now you have the ammunition. All I tell people to do is look at the Khalil Mack trade. Look at what happened with Khalil Mack, and everybody was like, how stupid are the Raiders because they got rid of Khalil Mack. If you look at the Raiders were in the playoff run 1 year after letting Khalil Mack go with the draft picks and the compensation that they have for him. They built the building blocks of a foundation, not only of good players that are going to be good in the future, but they also were able to be responsible with the cap so that they can have the ammunition to be able to get what they need and go able to buy it. So the fact that the Jets have 4 draft picks and then, you know, 4 number ones in the next 2 years, and the fact that they still have money now, because now that's money you're not giving Jamal, that's money that you're going to have in your pocket, to maybe, if Yannick plays out this season, to be able to go sign Yannick and still have, you know, 4 first-round draft picks. Just imagine next year, perfect scenario. We're allowed to wish and dream, right? So let's just say next year, Yannick is a free agent. Jets are going to have just as much money, or not more money, to give anybody, and Sam Darnold shows the promise that we anticipate that he's going to show. Now you have opportunity to have a D Ford, Nick Bosa type of situation where you go get a pass rusher in free agency and you go draft the number one draft, you know, pass rusher in the game. And if you have to give up your first-round draft pick and package 2 first-round draft picks to move up and get them, now you got 2 bookends and it doesn't hurt because now you have 2 pass rushers instead of 1. And everybody on your team is better.
It's all about what Joe Douglas does, obviously, with this stuff now. You get 2 first. Like the deal they got for Jamal Adams, you compare it to the Khalil Mack deal.
Yep.
And Khalil Mack, obviously, you know, you want to take a safety versus a guy who gets to the quarterback. You're always going to get to go with the guy that gets the quarterback. I mean, he's a higher value player, right?
Right.
You did have to sign him, of course, but still. What the Raiders got back allowed the Raiders now to do something and build, right? And that's where now Joe Douglas, his job now will deter. This trade to me can't be graded until you see what the picks become. I always feel that way. You know, picks, it's the currency of hope. I say it all the time. It's draft picks, and everybody gets excited about draft picks. But draft picks can turn into D. Milliner.
Yeah.
Right? Like draft picks can turn into,
Quentin,
you know,
Couples.
Stephen Hill. Like, you know, we've seen it over and over again. Vernon Golson. Like, you can get draft picks. That's great. But they got to become something. Mm-hmm. And so now we got to wait for that. Show me what they become, and then I can tell you, oh, yeah, they got a hell of a deal back for Jamal Adams. But Jamal Adams continues to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
And those draft picks turn into nothing.
See,
and now you're looking for your next GM. Well, then this is the Kristaps Porzingis trade. That's what it is. It becomes Odell Beckham, the Odell Beckham trade. What did Odell Beckham trade? What did that turn into? What did it really turn into? So I think that's why, you know, as a Jets fan, I'm glad that the disgruntled guy who kept setting up a circus tent around my franchise, he's gone now. Get him out of the room. Get him away from the reporters who can't wait to run up to him and just basically hand them the notebook and say, here, write whatever you want, and I'll put it in the paper. Like, you know, no longer we have any integrity anymore. Let me just sell my soul to the agent so I can get the story. Great job. Right? But get him out of the room. That's fine. But I can't tell you how good this trade is, Bart. I can't tell you until I see what those picks become. Now, you give me a great scenario, and I'm excited about that as a fan. I'd love to see that. Ngakoue, maybe you get him as a free agent. Maybe you get him there. Maybe you use one or two of those picks to move yourself up higher to get the player you want to get in the draft that now gives you those pieces you're missing. And by the way, McDougal's not a bad player.
Not at
all. You got yourself a safety who can start, who is pretty much, you know, I think Pro Football Focus had the safeties with the Seahawks were top 10. You know, they weren't as high as Adams and May, but they were still top 10.
Yeah, and it's the thing, though. Now you ask May, and listen, anybody that watched football kind of, I don't know if they see the whole picture of how Jamal was used. And listen, Greg Williams got here, Jamal was still a dominant player. So I'm not going to say it's all about the system and how he's being utilized.
Second half of the season, clearly Greg Williams utilized him in a much different way, took advantage of his skill set.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. And that's keeping him close to the box, making him the overhang player. He's the extra player, meaning that there's nobody really left to block him, so you allow him to have no responsibilities to make plays. When he blitzes, find a hole, find a way. You know what I mean? Get in there, find a hole, find a path to the quarterback, be disruptive, right? Mm-hmm. What I would say, and what I've been saying on this show, on other shows that I was on previously, that I always believed that Marcus May was the more talented player.
Yeah.
Jamal was the more dominant early on. But I think everything that Jamal can do and is capable of doing, Marcus May is equally as capable with another skill set, meaning that he's a guy that can cover, but also he's a more gifted, instinctive guy in pass concepts. You look at Marcus May, you look at the interceptions that he's had. It's been in cover two. It's been in cover one. It's been in two-man. You know, Jamal's was in overthrows, right? And I say for everybody out there, like, oh, my God, where are we going to get the productivity that Jamal gave us last year? Well, you get the return, I believe, of the comeback player, I think, defense player of the year candidate in C.J. Mosley.
Yes.
He showed you what he was capable of.
In a half.
All those blitzes.
That's all we got to see. Yeah,
all those blitzes that Jamal were taking was usually blitzes that would come from the second level from the linebacker. So Jamal was basically the linebacker. So mm-hmm. you give those same productivity. So now I'm going to get the same productivity from C.J. Mosley. Now I have picks to be able to make trades. I mean, hell, the Jets can make a trade at the trade deadline if they have to. You know what I mean? They have the ammunition. They can give up a third-round pick right now. We saw Leonard Williams go for a third-round pick. Let's say we get to the middle of the season and Jacksonville's like, hey, you know, Yannick, we're not going nowhere. We're not going to get enough for Yannick. We're not going to franchise tag him. Let's just let him go. And you give up a third-round draft pick. You say, whoa, that's crazy. Why would they give up Yannick for a third-round draft pick? Well, wasn't Leonard Williams a top-six pick?
Yeah.
Didn't Leonard Williams have a good year where he had a lot of sacks? Mm-hmm. So if the Giants would give up for a third-round draft pick, imagine the Jets being able to get Yannick for a third-round draft pick and then say, hey, we're going to give up this third-round draft pick because we know we have to sign him to a mega deal at the end. So now you've already got that piece. So now going into the draft, you already know what you got to get. I mean, so it's so many different ways this thing can go. And I think Joe Douglas played it perfectly, and he has a plan. Now, listen, if you don't believe in Joe Douglas, then, of course, you're questioning this pick. And I know Jet fans has a lot of scar tissue and saying, hey, man, my team isn't good in picking. It was an article, I forget what article it was, where it showed Quentin Copels, Jamal Adams, D. Milliner. When it showed all that the last five, you know, since 2015, five first-round draft picks are out. They were traded, gone. Calvin Pryor, traded. Understand that. But listen, at some point, you have to believe in something. And what I'm saying is, hedging your bet is a high percentage that you will do a good job in believing in Joe Douglas.
And I'll tell you what, that's the problem I think that we now face as the Jets will go into the 2020 season, God willing that we have one, is that I do actually have faith in Joe Douglas because he's already given me demonstrated performance to have confidence in him already. What I still wonder about are the things that have come out that Jamal has really used as his campaign, his exit strategy, mm-hmm. which is Adam Gase, and no one in the room likes him, and he's not a great coach to play for and all that stuff. Because I do feel like that looms large over this season. It looms large over the Jets because if he fails, it's another transition. And obviously it also affects Sam Darnold in a third year. So that's the thing that I can't let go of in this whole Jamal thing. Is you just wonder how much truth is in what he kept saying about Adam Gase. That's the part that I worry most about. 800-919-3776 is the number. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Bob Klapich is tweeting out that he was told Marlins players likely infected in Atlanta last week. Not in Philly over the weekend. Philly players tested today, as we told you, and Citizen Bank Park ongoing a deep cleaning now. Yankees have been sequestered into a remote hotel, the Hotel Notel, but they do expect to play tomorrow. But it's really something to keep an eye on. It's funny, they say Atlanta. Who was at Citi Field?
Oh, God.
The Braves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, again, keep an eye on that. And, oh, by the way, on an NBA-related topic, a player, Lou Williams, went home to Atlanta for personal issues and also decided, though, he had to get out and get some wings from his favorite spot, as Bart told us.
I told you.
He told the world.
Told you.
There's only one place to get the best wings, and Lou Williams knows this, and he had to, the wings were calling him.
I've had those wings.
And he went, yeah, you know the spot. And so he went. And now he has to. He's in double quarantine now because the NBA found out about it. Because you think you got snitches in the bubble?
Yeah,
you got snitches outside the bubble taking pictures of them.
Yeah, that was LeBron's people. That was LeBron's people.
How about, by the way? Yes, LeBron's people. How about, by the way, the menu of the place says the reason why you're here. And it has the wings menu.
Yeah,
he has his own sauce named after him. Lou Will.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's how big of a customer he was. But that's the reality. But zero positives. As the NHL enters the bubble, there are two bubbles, right? The NHL announced that today. And the NBA so far, the few issues they've had, Kristaps Porzingis forgot to take his test, so now he's got to go into quarantine. He just, you know, just didn't do it one day. And all right, well, you didn't do it. Now we got to shut you down.
Yep.
Paul Millsap also went through that, where it's just he went through a day and was like, oh, damn, I didn't take the test. All right, well, you got to get shut down. So the bubble seems to be working. The question, of course, is should Major League Baseball consider getting into a bubble ASAP, or do you just handle it as, you know, case by case and hope it doesn't spread quickly? Because, again, if they're saying they got it in Atlanta, all right, the Mets just played a team from Atlanta.
Right.
So now what happens as, you know, they've got to also contact trace. So.
Yeah, exactly. The contract tracing, this is where it comes into effect, right?
Baseball, right now, I think there's some tension. There's some concern about baseball because it's non-bubble. And they just got started, and they're just playing against other teams, just starting to travel. And right out of the gate, we have an issue. And your sport, the NFL is going to have, they're going to also travel. There'll be no bubble in the NFL. And so whatever happens with baseball, NFL should be watching and watching carefully, in my opinion.
No, definitely. You know, this is a great case study. That's why I think that the NFLPA wanted to push things back. But, you know, when you think about the NFL and why they push forward, it's because if you have these outbreaks, you want to have flexibility in your schedule to be able to reschedule games, to be able to take teams bye weeks and use those early on so that you can be able to have the season and still have a championship. Now, it's not going to be affected by weather because it's football. You can play in anything. But you want to be able to have a champion and playoffs and a regular schedule in a reasonable time. So, you know, this is going to be a great case study. I think this is also a great case study for college football because they're going to play regardless too. You know what I mean? And it's not about if somebody's going to get affected. It's what happens when they get affected.
When they do. Yeah.
And let's see if the protocol and the procedures that you put in place, let's see how effective they are.
That's exactly where we are right now. Bart, let's not get into the whole Dr. Doom stuff and how what I'm seeing already from some members of the media where it's just shut it down, shut it all down. It's never going to work. It's failure. They should have never done this.
Whatever.
You know, like, it didn't make sense.
Didn't we anticipate this? We talked about
you
this.
You gotta know. First of all, I'm watching TV in your basement right now. I don't see you. It's all good, though. I'd rather see you.
Remember, I was trying to hit mute like a million times.
I just wanted you to know that like, if you were making faces, I can't see them.
You was watching a weather channel.
So the weather, I was like, oh, we got a hurricane over there? But you get what I'm saying, right? Like, this is where I think we go to extremes sometime because we do get very emotional about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, is sports the be-all, end-all? No. But it also does sometimes represent life. And I think we've just got to understand that there are times where this is going to come up, and we have to learn how to adapt and adjust. That's it. And by the way, let this also be a cautionary tale, because we watched a weekend of games where guys were spitting and guys were high-fiving, and some guys just didn't even bother putting the mask back on in the dugout. So let this now be a lesson. As we said, don't be that guy.
Exactly.
So, but let's not overreact and say, shut it down, shut it all down. Let's just say, all right, figure it out, isolate it, and just battle through.
Right. And this is when you're talking about people are going to be using the entire roster. You know what I mean? You're going to be calling guys up. So this is going to call on teams that have the most opportunity to be successful. The teams with good farm systems, guys being able to call guys up to just give you, you know, who got the Tyler Austins, who have the Miguel Andujars of the world that they can, or the Clint Frazier's that they can call up and get, you know, 4 or 5 games, because we don't know, you know, 8 days or if it's 14 days before you can get 2 negative tests back to back. And you don't want to rush any of these guys back, but you're hoping that, hey, you know, maybe the Marlins can call up some guys and they can get back to going business as usual in about a week or so. But I don't even want to talk about baseball right now, because I know we got a full bank of calls, and I want to encourage people to keep calling in, because I want their voices heard about whatever the hell they want to talk about.
Yeah,
it ain't about what I want to talk about.
A lot of stuff on the Jets. Again, we'll get into Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks more probably 2 o'clock hour. We'll keep an eye on the baseball stuff right now. Again, no Yankees game tonight. They are staying sequestered in Philly, not going in that clubhouse. And would you? I wouldn't. Not after the, you know, again, Marlins left that place. You got, you know, again, it's this Jeremy Jermison all over the place. Let's get that thing fumigated before I let my team go in there. But they're there and they're hoping to play tomorrow. I'm expecting to play tomorrow. So it is what it is right now. But the Jets stuff, Jamal Adams, that's hot. Obviously, the Knicks and Thibodeau, very hot as well. Let's get your calls. 800-919-3776. We start off with Jack in Staten Island. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, fellas? Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good.
Maintaining. What up? What you got for us?
What's going on? So I just want to talk about, I can't talk about the Knicks. I know you guys are going to get to that topic later. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about Jamal Adams. And as far as, you know, when it comes down to New York, man, I'm just disgusted with the whole, you know, every time we get a superstar, such as the Jamal Adams, Odell Beckhams, the KPs, we trading them away for cookies and milk. Like, you know.
Two first-round picks is not cookies and milk, Jack. And by the way, Jamal is not a superstar. Let's dial that back a little bit. I wouldn't call him a superstar.
But hear me out now. I'm not saying that he's a superstar, you understand? But you gotta also understand what I'm saying to you is the fact is that we're trading for draft picks, and we don't know how these guys are gonna turn out. Look for the situation with Odell. Look, I don't even know. I haven't even seen the guys that to be traded for him playing. Or look at KP. You understand?
Porzingis, and Jack, Porzingis is the same type of scenario here, right? A guy that was a budding star. That had some, you know, you had some question marks. And, of course, I told the story about he and his brother. I mean, they never bought in. They would never put roots down. They never accepted the idea of wanting to, they were demanding things as if they had already accomplished so much. And you could tell the franchise was like, whoa. How about we take this step at a time? Like, why don't you become an all-star first? How about help us win first? Then all this will get figured out. It got ugly relationship-wise. They didn't trust the Knicks franchise, and then the Knicks franchise was looking at them like, we don't trust you, because we think you want to get traded, you want to go somewhere else. So that got ugly. And I said it with that trade. I was mad about that trade for the same reasons you are, Jack, about this trade with Jamal. Because this is a homegrown player that turned into a star-level player for his position, and you should now be building with this guy. And instead, you reset and get draft picks. And we can't. And thanks for the call, Jack. We cannot, as I said earlier, my opinion. Bart, tell me if I'm wrong. We can't really judge this trade for Jamal Adams, because you got draft picks, until we see what the draft picks become. Don't you agree?
Exactly. But, you know, what happens is, you know, you look at, you know, Jamal didn't want to be here, and he made it apparent, and he went nuclear. And, you know, if that's how he wanted to get out of here, that's how he got out of here. Odell didn't ask to be traded. That's a big difference. Odell wanted to be here. Odell believed that he was going to be here. And I know he said some different things, but he didn't say, hey, trade me, demand a trade, and all that
true.
Stuff.
Never demanded, you know, to be traded, right.
And he didn't go at the owner. He didn't go at Tish. He didn't go at Mara. You know, he didn't go at the head coach. He didn't go at the general manager. How can you have a working relationship and this guy is supposed to be in your building the next day? That's going to make everybody else emboldened to be able to try and talk stuff. Now, listen, you let him keep that chatter unless you get a haul like this. And remember, like, when we go back and we can talk about, you know, we can talk about the Khalil Mack trade. what they got in return, you know, so far, they got Henry Ruggs and they got Damon Arnett. Now, which one was their pick and which one was the pick that they acquired? No, who knows? They got Josh Jacobs and Colin Farrell. Who knows if Colin Farrell is going to be a baller? I know I can believe in Henry Ruggs already, and I know Arnett from Ohio State is a lockdown corner. Jamal is going to be the gift that keeps on giving, and it's going to be the responsibility of Joe Douglas to make sure he fills those shoes with players like that. What made this pick easier for me, or this trade easier for me, is like I said before, I believe in my heart of hearts, and I said it since day one, I believe that Marcus May is a better all-around player than Jamal Adams. He hasn't been healthy. You look at the comps, Jamal 6'1", May 6 feet, Jamal 214, Marcus May 208. He can do the same exact things if he was put in that role. You know what I mean? It's certain positions on a team that is designed to collect stats. And, yes, you have to be a player that's able to get those sacks and don't miss those layups. But Jamal was set up for layups. Not saying he's not a great player. But what I'm saying is you can get that type of productivity from Marcus May at half the price.
Mm-hmm.
Half
for now.
The cost. Right,
for
but now. But no matter what, no matter what Marcus May does, he won't, because his body of work won't be able to demand that type of salary that Jamal was demanding because his resume was it. So if you're going to get the same productivity cheaper, it allows you to overspend at the position that you need the most. You got to have a pass rusher. You got to have a pass rusher out here. If I tell you, hey, you can take the number one safety in the league to start your franchise, or you can take the number one pass rusher, one of the Bosas, Von Miller, which would you say? My point exactly. So until we get in that, until we spending that money on that, and we know that that white whale is out there like Garrett Cole for the Yankees, he's floating around there. We don't know if he's going to be available. What can you do to convince? Because I don't think you're going to miss the productivity of Jamal.
Right. But I to piggyback off what you're saying, it's basically like be in position to get that player you need instead of when that player, when let's say there's three edge rushers suddenly become available, and you're not, and now you don't have the capital to get it done, that's a you problem.
Exactly,
and because you jumped too soon. It's a fair point. But so you're in position now. Now you want to wait and see who becomes available, and then of course, like I said, you got to now make it happen. This is where the pressure goes back on Joe Douglas. All right,
Does Shaq Barrett become available next year? We know he's out there. He's a tremendous pass rusher. Does Clowney take a 1 year prove it deal, and then Clowney becomes available, or does Johnny become available next year? So now you have opportunity that maybe you got the money to get one, you know, three of those players, but you wouldn't have been able to get those players because you had to pay Jamal. If not this year, next year, so you'll be asking yourself, do I want to spend money on a pass rusher and Jamal? No, now you got Jamal replaced for nothing because you got productivity from Marcus May, and now you can go out and you can say, okay, well, if I have to overspend $2 million to make somebody come to the Jets, I got that money.
All right, I got to ask you a question, too, just related to this in a minute, but let's get one more call in here. We got a lot of calls to get to. Vin in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Vin.
Hey, guys. Good day.
What's up? What up?
How's everything?
Maintaining.
I definitely agree with you 100%, Bart. I was listening to you with Canty earlier, and definitely to get the hole we got for his safety and to get possibly get an edge rusher in the future, I mean, it's a no-brainer. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's what it's about, man. If you're disgruntled and his timing doesn't match up when the Jets are ready to win, the Jets may possibly be saying, hey, you know what? We may get Le'Veon Bell off the sticks, so now I got even more money to go out and get somebody else. Now, if I'm a Jets, I'm looking for disgruntled stars. I'm looking for that right tackle.
All right, so before we get back to the calls, and we'll get into the Thibodeau Knicks stuff, 2 o'clock hour. Of course, we continue the conversation, Jamal Adams, Jets, and keep an eye on what's happening with the Marlins, the Phillies, the Yankees, and Major League Baseball kind of in this moment right now where one of their teams, the Marlins, has a little bit of an outbreak, and how do they react to it? So we'll keep an eye on anything newsworthy that comes out of that because owners are meeting and discussing right now some protocols that they have to go through. But after the Jamal Adams trade, Le'Veon Bell really went in on him on Twitter and called him out for basically saying like how you talked me into coming here and you bail
first sign of trouble.
Yeah, really, and then Jamal's response was like, "Yeah, see you week 14 or whatever when the Jets play the Seahawks." And then he went back at him again. Like as if they don't give me that. Like, he is that legit? Like, does Bell have a case here? And
yeah,
and does it show you that Bell might have a little more loyalty to this franchise than we thought?
Well, it seems like, you know, Bell is all in, even though we all think that he's not going to be here next year because Gase doesn't really feature a running back. He puts a lot of value in a running back, and then, you know, he's making top-end money. He didn't get top-end productivity. Let's see with the beefed-up offensive line what that means. You know, but it's going to be interesting because Jamal's going to have to adjust because he doesn't play in the same system. You know, when do you ever see the Seattle Seahawks blitz? Almost never. So now he's going to have to be like that Cam Chancellor in the box, or is he Earl Thomas? Earl Thomas never blitzed when he was there. So if he's the Cam Chancellor role, he's going to be sitting in cover three all day. So if you sit in cover three all day, and I know that's where you're going to be, then it's ways to attack Jamal. Jamal's strength was never, you know, okay, he's a lockdown cover guy. So if that's the case, he may be getting a lot of sauce. Just think what he got. Okay, Jamal, let's see what you got to deal with. You got to deal with this dude named Kittles in your division. And he don't care. You can be big bad Jamal at 214 all you want. If Shanahan says, hey, Kittles, I don't want him to come close to the running back, then he ain't coming close to the running back. That's why Seattle was all in, because Seattle got bullied. And Seattle's one of those places like Baltimore, like the Jets used to be when I was there, that you can't beat me up physically. And they were the Legion. They ain't had no boom. So they went all in because they needed boom, and they understand that, hey, Bob Wagner is on his way out. Bob Wagner is the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been the top middle linebacker for all this time.
I need that drop, man. That's one of the best things you've ever said.
But
they were the Legion. They had no boom. I need that.
Because you got to think, they had Earl Thomas and they had Cam Chancellor. And in the course of 1 year, they lost both of them. So now they don't have that enforcer type. Now, Wagner is one of the best in the game. They don't have a pass rusher at all either. So that means that Jamal, now if you're in that cover three that everybody knows that you're in, and they motion Kittles over there to your side, and they know that you have him man-to-man, you could get exposed. You can get exploited. That's going to be a part of your game that you're going to have to prove that you can do on a consistent basis.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, if they motion him over, that means Kittle has you in a running game, and Kittle loves to block in the running game. So it can be a tough sledding for you as well. You're going to have to adjust. You went to a team that should be a playoff team, but it may not win that division because it's far from the best team in that division. When you think about San Francisco is a young team that got better, that traded one of their top-end pieces to Indianapolis and replaced him with the perfect fit in Kinlaw. So, I mean, be careful what you wish for, because you can be out of the playoffs this year. The Jets can be just as close next year with your picks than they were this year. They were the Legion. They ain't had no boom.
Love that. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Go ahead, Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, Alan? Long time no speak. Miss you at 7 o'clock, baby.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
What's up, Bart? What's going on?
What up, though?
I'll tell you what, though. The night in the summertime, the night was popping. Yeah, you got mm-hmm. Bart. I got to tell you, the night always was popping in the summer. Yeah. Everybody says the summer's like the dog days of radio. Not at night. We had games going on. I used to yell at the TV like crazy. Calls. We had a blast in the summer at night. Definitely.
Good memories, man. Good memories.
Absolutely.
Man. I got to come at you a little bit, bro. You cannot compare Porzingis to Jamal Adams. I mean, maybe with the part of the Discord, but Jamal Adams was all pro at his position. Porzingis was routinely hurt here.
He was an all-star, though. You're right about that. He got hurt, but he was an all-star by his third year, and he was the face of the franchise and a very important player that you drafted. And they could not get a relationship with him. Just like Jamal, they couldn't get the guy to become the foundational player that you need a top four pick to become.
Listen, we all knew that Adams was. If you had a brain, you knew that Adams wasn't going to be here next year. He positioned it, you know, and got kind of what he wanted.
Yeah.
But you know, let's be honest. This is the part that pisses me off all the time as a Jets fan. It's all this peripheral stuff. It's Adams. Is this versus that? We have a bad ownership group that got worse when the brother took over, and you know, we're consistently losing. It was not about money with Adams, really. Adams used money as a way to get out of here because he was tired of losing. And now next year, you know, everybody says about, you know, they talk about how Sam Darnold, he's under review, and I'm not married to him like my man Mark from Newark always says. But if you were Sam Darnold's family member, much less whether we're going to offer him another contract. What in the hell would you want to stay here for? He's going to be on his third coach in 4 years because we all know Adam Gase is not surviving this year. But you know that's going to happen.
But let me tell you, I will bank my reputation on Joe Douglas. Listen, it's one of those things. Like,
so you know him. You got some history there. So
yes,
yeah.
It's like Mike Jones, man. You know, now I'm hot, y'all on me. Back then, you didn't want me. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, this is the beginning of the turnaround. No longer are unqualified people at positions of power. You got a grown-up in Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas told Sam Darnold's mother that I'm going to protect your son. Can't do it this year because I just got on the job. I am going to protect your son. What did he do? You got backups. You got starters that are backups now. You got competition at every offensive lineman position, including left tackle. If Becton can't figure it out, you got Ndoga, who showed a lot of promise last year. So now so that's one promise that he's taking care of. He got him deep threat weapons. Whatever you want to say about Perryman, he didn't want to give Robbie Anderson that money because he thought the talent didn't warrant the salary. So he went and found an equal but reasonably cost replacement at the same price. Anybody can argue all you want. Perryman is a former number one first round draft pick. He balled out in the second half in the Bruce Arians system. Mm-hmm. He did that, and then he said, "You know what? I'm gonna throw another big target on him for you, Sam. I'm gonna go get Mims for you too." And you already got your Crowder last year, or I didn't get your Crowder, but Crowder's here last year. That's somebody that can move the chains for you. You have Le'Veon, so you can say every promise that he said, he's done. And I'm gonna argue that he replaced Jamal Adams, you know, with Marcus May and with McDougal, because you could say those two players can equal that productivity.
And drafted with the third-round pick, also another safety that they hope is going to be part of the mix.
And Austin Davis, right? Yeah. And he's going to be a dime backer. He's going to be a guy that you could – so he's done all of that, and he saved you money to be able to get that super special talented player that falls through the cracks that you can get. So, like, I believe in Joe Douglas, and I tell you what, he has a plan, and those plans usually take 3 to 4 years. You know what I'm saying? And he's in year, really, one and a half of his plan, and he's off to a hell of a start. Because you can say whatever you want. The defense was top 10 with Jamal last year. You add C.J. Mosley, and I think they're still top 10. But I think the offense is better, which is going to help the defense better. So all good for me.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.